Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When the tortured howling souls of the dead soar through the skies on October 28th in Cleveland, Ohio, NWA presents Samhain, the most violent pay-per-view in National Wrestling Alliance history. Samhain, be there if you dare.
End of October, NWA presents Samhain, promising to be the most violent pay-per-view in NWA history. So who better to mark the darker half of the year than wrestling's machinating master of macabre, Cultaholic, now becomes a Cultaholic. We are joined by Father James Mitchell. How are we doing, sir?
I'm doing fine, Tom. How the hell are you?
Oh, we're doing good. That voice, that golden voice, the voice of the most violent pay-per-view in National Wrestling Alliance history, Samhain. Now, this is an education as well for many people because we all know Halloween, but like Samhain is like the true, darker, brooding, older brother of Halloween, isn't it?
Yes. Halloween is stolen from it's the forerunner of what we celebrate as Halloween. And way back when, it was a much more serious thing. But it's basically a time where they think there's an opening in the veil between reality and our reality and the other side, where the dead can walk the earth and things like that, which we celebrate as Halloween by putting on costumes and pretending to be the dead that are walking the earth and causing chaos.
How will you be marking Samhain this year away from the wrestling side of things?
Away from the wrestling side? Well, you know, every day is Samhain for me, really. So once a year, I take great pleasure in just watching the amateurs all celebrate it, you know?
You've said the National Wrestling Alliance has reignited your love for wrestling. And between some of the moments that you've made in NWA, between making Sal Renaro drink blood and guiding Max the Impaler to the women's TV title, what has been a highlight of your time so far with the NWA?
Well, let's see. Off the top of my head, most recently would be Max the Impaler winning the Women's World Television Championship from Kinsey Page at NWA 75. That's something I'd predicted way back when. Having the opportunity to work with Judas, who is a man I'd wanted to recruit into Impact Wrestling back in 2008 or something like that, and it never worked out. The match Max had last year with Camille for the NWA Women's Championship was really good. I've had a great time. Just about everything has been a highlight. As you said, it's reignited my enthusiasm for the business. And NWA wrestling was the first wrestling I was really exposed to as a child when I grew up. On Saturdays, we were able to get Mid-Atlantic Championship Wrestling once in the morning and once at night. We got Georgia Championship Wrestling in the evening. And then we'd also, somewhere in there, we got Florida Championship Wrestling, all of which were under the NWA banner. So this feels like home for me. It feels like exactly where I need to be, where like I've come full circle.
Whether we've known you throughout your career as James Vandenberg, the Sinister Minister, Father James Mitchell, when you arrive, we know that something wicked this way comes.
Literary reference.
Thank you very much. But I'm intrigued, where does James Mitchell end and Father James Mitchell begin, if you catch my drift?
I'm pretty, well, as you can tell speaking to me right now, I'm fairly different, considerably different than I am on television, unless you really piss me off. But the gentleman in the red suit is in here. And I've said for years that it seems like I have almost created a separate, fully functioning personality, like somebody with dissociative identity disorder, because the gentleman in the red suit is smarter than I am. He's better spoken than I am. It's a completely different personality. And when I am in that zone, that is who I am. I'm not sitting there trying to memorize lines or excuse me, or anything like that. The reactions and the things that come out of my mouth, they're organic. So that gentleman is in there somewhere, but thank God I'm able to put him in my back pocket when it's time to not be on TV, or I'd probably be in prison.
I know some of your influences over the years have been supervillains, comic books, even Scooby-Doo gets a little nod in the building of the man in the red suit. Now, on your travels, I'm keen to know, when it comes to building a wrestling manager, because you came from an era where there were so many and the industry has changed so much in so many ways. What, in your opinion, is the state of wrestling managers in 2023? Is there still the energy for that sort of thing, do you think?
Well, Billy in NWA is certainly one of the companies that's brought them back and is using them well. You know, we've got Aaron Stevens, we've got Chris Silvio Esquire, myself, and he's brought that element back into it. You know, for years, especially when I started really trying to get, once I started getting rolling in the pro wrestling business, managers were on their way out. They had just, you know, they were being replaced with valets and skimpy outfits. And I remember speaking to Jim Cornette years ago, looking for a job in WWE or WWF, as it would have been called at the time. And he said, if you don't have tits and a bikini, you're not getting a job. But he said something like, if I'm not getting on TV, you're not getting on TV. You know, this was when he was working in the office. But there was a drought for a long time. And wrestling companies, for the most part, over the years have tended to try to follow and emulate the industry leader, which of course has been Vince McMahon since 1985 or so. And what happens is you get watered down fifth generation Xeroxes of what's happening. So I think using managers, because Vince really, other than Paul Heyman, for the most part, hasn't really used any prominently in ages. Paul's had a great run up there. But, you know, it's one of the things that sets the NWA apart. Managers used to be a very viable part of the business, because what you could do is, when you had a manager who, I guess you would use the term, homesteaded, you know, you kept him around like you would have with Lou Albano and Freddie Blassie and the Grand Wizard, say in WWWF back in the day. You could bring in an unknown talent and they would immediately get a rub off of the manager, because the manager had established heat, and the crowd would instantly know that if they were put with this person, they must be somebody special, you know? And that's one of the things that just sort of went away over the last couple of decades. And, you know, I've been, fighting to keep the tradition alive. I've said oftentimes that being a great wrestling manager these days is like being a great 8-track tape player. Or I used to say a great LP, a record, you know, before they came back, you know, so even, you know, LPs have finally come back, you know. But it was, it's kind of frustrating, you know, for years it was frustrating. But I'm in a good place with it now. And I think the door is open, you know, if people get their heads out of their asses in other promotions and use managers the way they should be used, it would bear fruit.
And all the more reason why it's like an 8-track, whilst they're few and far between, the sound quality is still exceptional when you do.
There you go.
And that's what it's about. And it's an 8-track that you've played in WCW, in ECW, as part of TNA and Impact Wrestling, a litany of other places, but with the exception of that appearance at One Night Stand, not so much for WWE. And we've heard about numerous nearlies and shoulda, woulda, couldas over the year. You managing Tenzai nearly, you managing Jack Swagger nearly. Is there a dream? I know you don't so much watch wrestling from outside of what you're currently doing. You're laser focused on what's happening with NWA, and as that should be the case. But is there a dream WWE scenario, maybe past or present, that you would love to have been involved with?
You know, we're going back 25 years. You know, I would have fit in somewhere, you know, in that Kane and Undertaker sort of world. You know, I could have seen me bringing in another character, you know, not managing them because they were already spoken for. But possibly bringing another character in during like the whole Ministry of Darkness kind of thing. I mean, look, I'm not the sort of manager that you're going to put with Bobby Eaton or, you know what I mean? Or a Harley Race kind of wrestler or something, or Ric Flair. You know, I'm the kind of guy that back in the day would be managing Abdullah the Butcher and the original Sheik and Pak Song and, you know, Tora Tanaka, those kind of heels.
You mentioned about obviously not managing Undertaker or Kane, but bringing somebody in. Now, there was, I'm so intrigued. There was a lot of rumor and innuendo for a while about a match between Abyss and The Undertaker at WrestleMania. That was something that did the dirt sheets for a while. Do you know much on that? And if so, was the Sinister Minister factored in?
No, I was not factored in. I believe that came up not long after I had come back to TNA Impact, as it was called at the time. So this would have been around 2005, I think, or early 2006. So he never said, Abyss never said anything to me about it during the time. And then, you know, maybe a year later or destroyed, but basically, depending on which version you listen to, some people told him that they didn't think he'd be able to put up with the pressure there, and said that he would be better off staying where he was. But from what I understand, it was a hell of a spot because he would have debuted wrestling The Undertaker as, you know, as his foil. But I think the other thing he told me too is like, you know, you're not going to beat The Undertaker, especially in those days. There's nowhere to go but down from there. So you could come in and have a meteoric rise and then you're immediately going to go down. So anyhow, he ultimately wound up staying with Impact, which for him turned out to be a good decision. He made good money there, and he had a lot of influence behind the scenes. And now actually he's, of course, as a lot of people know, he's in WWE behind the scenes as a producer, and has been for 4 years, almost three and a half, four years. And by all accounts, he's well-respected and doing a great job. And, you know, the great thing is, you know, he gets insurance and benefits and all the stuff, you know, that, you know, he wouldn't have gotten back in the day if he were a wrestler there.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Obviously, you and Abyss work so closely. Some golden wrestling stuff came from you guys in TNA and Impact Wrestling. How much of that character, that story came from you, and how much of it was from up top?
Are you referring to a specific storyline?
I think just in general, the progression. The one that springs to mind is the Chris Parks sort of blackmail storyline, where it was, you know, we know the truth about you, we can send you to prison whenever you want, and the mind games that were played through there. It's like, that story is the one I think of, but I think more in general, how much sway did you and Abyss have on the trajectory of Abyss in TNA?
Abyss was kind of unofficially in the office, so he sat in on meetings and whatnot, so he had some input. I mean, for the most part, Dutch Mantell, for the longest time, sort of steered our ship. But to the story you're referring to, the blackmail and shooting the father and all that stuff, that was a Vince Russo creation. Now, what I do vaguely remember was that maybe 2 years before that, Abyss had mentioned to me late one night that he'd had an idea about something, a setup similar to what happened with the shooting the father thing, or maybe shooting wasn't involved, and never heard about it again. And then when Vince Russo came in, he lined all that up. And at first, I was not happy about it, because it seemed to me, in the first week or two that it was going on, they had me programmed cutting these promos against Sting. And when I would look at the format sheet, the way it was written out, and what would show up on TV would be much different when it came out of my mouth than what was on the format sheet. But it looked like they were essentially doing almost a biblical story where Sting is Jesus and I'm the devil. And I immediately said, this is going to cause too much heat. And if people get mad about it, I'm the one who's expendable, not Sting, you know? So I bitched and raised hell about it, and for a week or two. And then finally I thought about it. I said, when am I going to get an opportunity again? This stage in life, of course, that was 20 years ago almost, to work a main event program with somebody like Sting. So I just decided that I was going to make the best out of it that I could. And I had to wrap my mind around it and try to say, how would I react if I were truly in this situation personally? There was a lot of crazy stuff to absorb, to me, I'm not a fan of things that happen off screen. What do they call it? Deus Ex Machina or something like that. Ghost in the Machine, where a story is revealed, like if you're watching a movie and out of nowhere somebody comes in and it's something you didn't see unfold before your eyes, So this whole backstory didn't take place in front of everybody. So, or at least hints weren't given at first, but I just had to wrap my mind around that. And I remember when I had to do the reveal about being his father, I started the promo and we were doing it. We were going to go live. The show was already going on. And I was sitting back there with Vince Russo and Pat Kenny. And Russo just said, okay, here's going to be your reveal. You know, let's tape this. And we're doing it as the matches are going live during the pay-per-view. And I started the promo two or three times, and Vince would stop me and he'd say, nah, Jim, bro, you're doing a wrestling promo. Be real. I stopped and started it maybe three times. And he kept saying, no, that sounds like a wrestling promo. And I said, all right, give me a minute. Let me smoke a cigarette. Give me 30 seconds, 40 seconds. And then really what I did was I just channeled being something from real life where I was pissed off at my stepson that I had at the time. And just kind of, you know what I mean? I turned it into that. And whereas, you know, I was able to get that emotion and bring it out there and make it feel real. And then, you know, I just kind of ad-libbed it and bang, it was done. And it came off. Again, I think that was one of the goofiest stories I've been involved with. But people have always said about me for years is that I'm the guy that can take the most outlandish shit and make it seem believable while it's coming out of my mouth. You know, so that's something I take pride in. And, you know, some of my best performances came out of that, you know. And, you know, Russo at the time when he produced me, he would very often make me drop into, instead of a wrestling promo mode, he would have me drop into being more naturalistic and speaking like a regular human being, you know what I mean? And having some ebb and flow. And, you know, it was a growth thing, you know, and I've learned, you know, that was one of the things I learned is that instead of being afraid of something or afraid to try, you know, give it a shot, give it your best. If it works, that's what you want. And if it doesn't, you still learn something, you know, you, if nothing else, you learn what not to do, but at least you went forward valiantly and gave it your best.
And it kind of leans into something that you said, this is going back a while ago in an interview, where you were surprised how you became, for lack of a better term, sort of typecast in an occultist manager role. And all the versions of you that we've seen have just been this incredible satanic-esque character. And I'm just curious, when you said that, is there a certain part of your repertoire, a certain part of you that you always wanted to showcase more?
In terms of how my character is presented, you mean?
Yeah, I did, because the Sinister Minister is an incredible character that has grown over years. But I know that you're so much more than that. You do so many other things. There's so many more strings to your bow. And I ever wondered whether you ever thought about, or fantasized, or even considered, or pitched ideas that weren't based around that sort of character.
Well, a couple of times in between gigs up and down over the years, I pitched various things because I thought, okay, the character had run its course. In fact, one funny story here, when Dusty Rhodes came in to book TNA for a year or however long, 6 months, I don't know how long he was there, but he came in and he was saying, Devil, we got great ideas for you, baby. What we're going to do is when the people are lined up outside at Universal waiting to get in, we're going to have like a whole freak show outside. And we're going to have the bearded lady and the man eating fire and swallowing swords. And you're going to be out there like a ringmaster with the, you know, the top hat. And you're going to be a carnival barker. And I thought, okay, sure, I'll do that. And hell, Dusty Rhodes has just handpicked me to do this thing. So I went, he said, go get all the gear, Devil, and I'll be in touch with you soon. So I went out and I bought this entire outfit, you know, cost a shit ton of money. And so I've got everything and I'm ready to go. And, you know, I studied up on all my carny stuff. Got a pretty big library regarding carny culture and stuff like that. So I'm studied and well-prepared, ready to go. And I called Dusty for, I don't know, it seemed like 2 or 3 months at this point. And I couldn't get an answer, And oh, I forgot to tell you, in between there, what really made me mark out, his wife, I believe her name was Michelle Rubio. She had called. I didn't know it was his wife at the time, but it was like, this is Dusty Rhodes' personal assistant, Michelle Rubio. Dusty Rhodes is waiting on line so-and-so. You know, that's what I mean. He played it so well, you know. You know, it's like getting a call from the president of the United States, you know.
Line two is probably the bedroom, right?
Yeah. So anyway, I finally got through to Dusty after I'd bought all this shit. And I said, because he'd said, we're going to be making movies, devil. We're going to make movies out here. And Dusty, hey, it's devil. And he was almost like he didn't even know who the hell I was at that point. I'm like, yeah, remember you told me to go out and get this ringmaster outfit and, you know, the whole nine yards. So are we ready to go? And he, I forget exactly how he worded it, but it was something like, I said, he goes, no, devil, there have been a change in plan. We will not be making any movies with the devil or something like that. And I was like, well, son of a bitch. So then that's when, you know, when I got called back to be with Abyss, which was maybe 6-7 months after that. The one thing I changed was I wasn't wearing a red suit all the time, you know? So when you see the early Abyss stuff, I'm just wearing all kinds of different like business suits. Some of them were outlandishly colored, but I was trying to avoid the red thing to separate it a little bit and trying to make sure that I didn't say anything devilish in the promos and not refer to myself at all. And, you know, Jim Cornette came in and said, you know, your promos are great, but you never let anybody know anything about yourself. You know, you never reveal, you know, you're talking about what a monster Abyss is. I'm like, but well, yeah, that's so I don't, you know, nobody's going to accuse me of stealing heat or, you know, a lot of times managers are accused of trying to, you know, steal the spotlight. So, but then, you know, Cornette and I believe Sabu and several people of a few months into the Abyss thing, because I wore a red suit one time just as a lark. And they said, that's what you need to, that's your money shot. That's you. That's what pops on camera. Everything about you just lights up when you're in that that getup. So, you know, I went back to that for the most part because it's kind of like, you know, it's what brought me to the dance and it continues to work.
And it's funny that people, it's true, like not many people know stuff about you. I know that you run karaoke nights when you're not wrestling.
Yeah.
And I love this. Are you a Frank fan? I understand that it's a bit of a turn as part of the karaoke. You'll sing a bit of Frank for us, James.
Here and there. I got, you know, as you can hear, my voice is pretty
sounds
much
gorgeous.
Shot.
I know what you're talking about.
I sound like Tom Waits now, if you know who that is.
Yeah,
you know, where the voice has been soaked in a vat of bourbon and hung out to dry in a tobacco barn and then run over by a truck. I've had to adapt and improvise over the years. I can still sing a few Frank songs, but his voice is so clean and pure. That my voice these days doesn't really lend itself well to that. There's a handful of Frank tunes I do, but you know, I'm kind of in between. I can do some really surprising crooning stuff at times. And then, you know, the rest of the time, you know, I'm kind of a bluesy rock and roll sounding guy, as you might imagine. I've been running a karaoke business since 24 years now. I started right as ECW started going out of business. And at that point, you know, I came into the wrestling business having sacrificed everything. You know, instead of having a plan B like an intelligent person would, you know, I approached wrestling the same way that a lot of people try to get into rock and roll do, you know, just damn the torpedoes straight ahead. And when ECW died, I thought, okay, it's all over, you know, because WWE definitely was not using managers at that time. TNA had not opened up yet. And, you know, I used to be a singer when I was younger. My aspiration before wrestling was to be a rock star. That didn't pan out. But I was always a really good front man, even when I couldn't sing back then. And I would do karaoke, like with Canyon. We'd go out and get liquored up after the shows and do karaoke. And one day, you know, he just suggested to me, why don't you do this? And I thought there was no money to be made in it. I had no idea. And once I got up and running, and there may not be money, depending on where you work, but I was lucky enough to be living here in Orlando, Florida, where they have all these resorts. And I mean, it took off like a rocket. So I did really, really well with it. And it went down when the economy crashed in 2008, kind of died for about 4.5 years until things started picking back up. But it's pretty much what I will be doing until the day I die, because, you know, I'm not a guy that wears a name, can see myself wearing a name tag. I couldn't imagine being like, Mickey Rourke in that scene in The Wrestler where he's working in a deli and he's just miserable, if you remember the movie.
I do.
And I know a lot of people who go through that. So with me doing karaoke, I mean, I have a microphone in my hand. I cut promos all night long. You know, it's similar, and it scratches a similar itch to wrestling, you know. So unless I get my vocal cords removed, it's probably what I will continue to do.
Well, let's speak on the wrestling. Samhain, NWA's most violent pay-per-view in history, October 28th, it all goes down. The Temple Live at Cleveland Masonic in Cleveland, Ohio. Now, already announced, I'm intrigued by this, the Knights of the Round Table tables match, Blunt Force Trauma and Mike Knox and Trevor Murdoch. This is going to be a table match unlike any other, isn't it, Jim?
Yes, my understanding is that the tables that they will be putting people through, if I understand this correct, will be actual round tables, not the long square one, which if you've ever taken a good look at those things, they don't have the give that the traditional product, you know, announce table does, the 6-foot one. And, you know, Aaron Stevens is a real Machiavellian, evil, insidious sort of character. So I'm sure he's set this up to have the odds working in his favor for his team, Blunt Force Trauma. So that should be a really violent and painful to watch matchup.
Vampiro and La Rebellion teaming up against the Brothers of Funstruction and Violent J. Am I right that you've done a song with the ICP, Jim?
Yes, I did. On the ICP album, The Tempest. I did a voiceover at the beginning of the song, like a carnival barker, just as we're like Dusty wanted me to be.
Devil, baby, put your hat on, be a carnival barker.
So, yeah. And I recorded a speech for them. And so they put part of it. And then I believe my voice was inserted, you know, on the chorus a little bit. But the song is called Ride the Tempest. And I believe they had me, I did a little lead in at the track that preceded that. But that was a real fun experience, too.
Pretty Empowered, the women's tag team champions, are defending the titles. And in amongst all that, Kenzie Page is putting the women's title up against Ruthie J as well. The women's division, with all that's going on in wrestling at the moment, we're seeing this continued rise for women's wrestling. But I love how the National Wrestling Alliance leans into that women's history. There's a lot of promise in across the women's divisions in the NWA right now, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, we have an excellent women's division, superb women's division. Pretty Empowered has just been a hell of a tag team. And I mean, if you go up and down throughout the women's roster, Kenzie Page, who has really made a great showing for herself. Obviously, she's the women's world champion now, a student of Dr. Tom Pritchard. She's done amazing things. Camille had that amazing 3-year-plus run, I believe it was. I would put our women's division up against any in the country. I mean, any other promotion running currently. Very strong.
Main event of Samhain stands as EC3 defending the NWA World Championship against Thomas Latimer. EC3's impact on the National Wrestling Alliance, what's that been like behind the scenes to have a guy like EC3 leading the charge for this new era of the NWA?
He's an interesting guy. He seems to have reinvented himself a little bit. Excuse me, in this last several months. Seems to be of a much more philosophical bent in the way he presents himself. I catch him often. I don't know if the people do, but I took him to the side one time and I said, "You've been reading a lot of Friedrich Nietzsche and Carl Jung and whatnot, have you not?" Because you could hear it leak through in the way he does his promos. But he's a really dedicated, super hardworking athlete. And you know, Latimer, the same thing. Latimer, I've admired Latimer. I first met him at NWA 73 when I came in. A really super talented, good looking guy. Both of them have size. I think that's going to be a really, really interesting matchup. Who will win or lose, I couldn't tell you, but I can tell you Tom Latimer is hungry and he's going to have Camille in his corner on this match. And, having the wife in the corner, egging you on, could possibly lead him to get the scales tipped in his favor, because you don't want to make the wife mad.
Oh, not in the slightest. If in doubt, don't make the wife mad. Now, the devil makes work for idle hands. Father James Mitchell's name doesn't seem to be on this card, nor do any of his charges. Are we expecting to see some action from yourself or your charges when we get to Samhain?
Those have not been announced yet, but they will in due time, which will be probably in the next week or so. I will be the devil at large. My presence will loom large over it anyway, but my teams will be in action. Max, I believe we will have an action, but all that will be revealed here in the next week or two.
Yeah, don't play your cards too soon. NWA right. Presenting Samhain, the most violent pay-per-view in NWA history. Saturday, October the 28th, the devil is large and he's in charge, and he joins us on Cultaholic. Father James Mitchell, thank you for your time ahead of NWA Samhain.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Again, guys, October 28th, NWATix.com. NWATix.com, that's where you can get your tickets. Also, it will be airing live on pay-per-view on Fight TV, FITE TV. So be sure to mark that down and be there on October 28th.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.